Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Josh Ritter is a busy guy. His debut novel, Bright's Passage, a national bestseller, has just been released in paperback. In February, he put out a 6-song EP called Bringing in the Darlings, and he's about to start a busy summer of touring, mixing solo acoustic shows, book readings, and whole band shows with the Royal City Band. He joins us now to talk about all of that and more. Josh Ritter, welcome back to the Roundtable.
Thanks for having me, Sarah.
Last time we talked was right as Bright's Passage came out in hardcover about 11 months ago. What did you learn over the course of this just about a year as you've toured and talked about and read from your book?
Well, I have to say, first of all, that when they send authors out on tour, they roll out the red carpet. For some reason, that's the way to travel. you travel around, you got your book, you got your your jacket with the arm pads on it, Somebody picks you up at the airport, they drive you around in a nice car, you stay in a hotel that's way nicer than any hotels I've stayed at as a rock musician, and people treat you like you're smarter than you are, which is great. I could live with it. It was great. It was awesome. I think that, in terms of how the book has what I've learned since then, it is amazing, and I felt this with music as well, that as a piece of work, it's farther away from the moment you created it. Parts of it continue to blossom for me. I don't spend a lot of time listening back to my music. I listen to it a little bit, and with a novel, I've returned to it much more because I've been going around the country and reading from it. And what strikes me is the character of Henry Bright and his uncertainty and confusion of being, of being about 20 years old, and that confusion and uncertainty is not something that I feel like you necessarily grow out of as a dude. I'm waiting for it to happen. I'm waiting to feel like I belong in the category of adults, but I feel that coming off of his character. And to me, so far, that seems to be that's the thing that strikes me the most about the book is him.
The paperback edition has a conversation between yourself and Neil Gaiman. How did that come about?
I met Neil Gaiman on a great radio show called Wits.
That's right.
In
St. Paul.
Public Radio.
Yeah. John Moe.
And he was a fascinating dude. We did a couple kind of quizzes and game show things together. He was an amazing dude. I respect him so much, and I respect his imagination, and I respect this lightness that he brings to creativity. His own creativity brings such lightness, that you can sit down and something beautiful can happen. And if it doesn't, who the hell cares, It doesn't happen today, it'll happen tomorrow. And I love that. I need that in my life. I need that reminder. And, I like the respect that he has for other people's creativity and what he feels like he can learn from other people. I see it all the time in his writing and on his, in the projects he works on. He's just such a curious person, and I think keeping that sense of excitement alive and hunger alive is something I really look up to.
So how did that become something that would be added to the paperback of your book?
Random House was asking me if I had any ideas. They thought a conversation with somebody is always something that they really try to go for. It's just a couple people talking about different points in the book. And it's the same as in music these days. There's a great search for content, extra content and things like that, which is great for someone like me or for someone like Neil who generally is interested in doing a whole bunch of other things too. It's it's fun and it's a good chance to get to know each other. It's a chance, it's a social chance to kind of hang out. So that was a lot of fun. And something I love, I try and do as much of that as possible with my music as well. And nowadays, you can do all that stuff. There's no one telling you not to, and there's no one telling you can't just email somebody or call them on the phone. I love that. That may be one of my favorite things about, or I think where I feel like I'm at in my career is that I can start to think about what would I love to do, and maybe sometimes it works out.
Right.
And Neil, getting to talk with Neil about writing, that's like pretty high on the list.
Sure, figure out who you'd most want to do a duet with and start tweeting at them furiously.
Yeah, exactly.
you recently had a sudden and pretty serious health scare. Do you mind talking about that?
Sure. I had a rare reaction to medication, and which coincided with my normal kind of exercise routine.
Right.
I was working out pretty. I gave it a little bit extra on a day when I guess I shouldn't have, and I got what's called a acute exertional rhabdomyolysis, which is when your muscles begin to break down, and when your muscles break down, you know, you get sore. But in this case, my muscles broke down a lot, and it released large amounts of myoglobin, which is a muscle pigment, into my blood.
Mm-hmm.
Myoglobin is gnarly because it blocks your kidneys, you know, really quickly. The normal amount of myoglobin in the blood at any time is measured in a unit of about 100 as average, and I guess mine was about 273,000. I was walking around feeling fine, a little sore, you know, and I was 6 or 7 hours away from dying without even knowing it. And, you know, my trip to the hospital was quick, and thankfully I didn't have to sit in the waiting room for too long, because the whole time in the hospital, I was there for a week with, you know, just waiting to make sure that my kidneys weren't failing or my liver wasn't failing. And it was a strange time to wait and see what was happening in my body and not really being able to do anything about it. And I've been lucky in my life not to have that happen in any other way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it really made me happy about my life, and I feel so lucky right now.
You were in the hospital for about a week learning how to say exertional rhabdomyolysis.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And realizing that Wendy Williams is really a supernatural figure on TV, and I hadn't gotten acquainted with her yet. So I watched a lot of Wendy Williams. She's got great posture.
So if Wendy shows up as a name in a new song.
Man, she's a whole lot of everything.
I mean, I'm sorry you had to go through that. I was concerned for you following your tweets, and I'm glad you're going to be okay.
Thanks.
Of course. You're performing with your band, the Royal City Band, at this year's Clearwater Festival. In the afternoon on Saturday, June 16th. Last year, you played the festival in a trio. What made you want to come back?
It was awesome to be asked. I mean, I'd be there for the opening of an envelope, you know. I get a chance to be there, and like my band can come and hang out now, and they're like a beautiful day outside on the shore for like a great cause with a chance to see other music. It's really perfect.
That's pretty beautiful.
So yeah, it's great. Everything is there to make that a great day.
In February, you released an EP called Bringing in the Darlings. What made you want to do an EP in between full albums?
It's hard to ever quite know why that stuff works. I think it's usually a reaction to something, or it's like a combination of stuff happens. I with So Runs the World Away, and there was so much gravitas and so much production. I mean, I needed those songs to be really large in scope. And as a consequence, there's a couple songs that I just, you know, there wasn't a spot for them on the record. They were far simpler and more unassuming. Like, I think they're that type of song that kind of like walking down the street would like tip their cap, you know, instead of like...
They are sweet songs.
Yeah, they're sweet, sweet songs. And I wanted a spot for them. They felt like they were strays, you know, and I wanted a spot. And I also knew that like I was getting ready to make a new record, and I knew that I had to clean the decks. I had to not be thinking about these other songs while I was working on new stuff. Like, and I had been like hanging out a lot with my friend Josh Kaufman, who I think is an incredible guitar player who really understands what I do, and what, you know, we work really well together. And he has a little studio in Brooklyn. It was coming on to winter time, and it was cozy, you know. It was like the idea of getting up in the morning and you know, walking down the street and like going to work and then, you know, eating a sandwich in the middle of the day and then coming home. It was so nice. It was a terrific feeling. So all those things sort of combined into making that record, like feeling like it was really a special thing. And I just wanted something with no fanfare and no bell ringing, and just be something pretty and sweet and small.
So you walk down the street and record that one, but drive all the way up to Maine to record the bigger ones?
Up in Maine, it's just, it's like, so the water is different up there, you know?
I want to play a few songs or part of a few songs from the EP. If you could talk a little bit about each of the following three songs, that
sure.
would be great. We'll start with the song that has a gorgeous video online, a papercraft video that is beyond description, Love Is Making Its Way Back Home.
That song came to me all at once, like all at once. The words and the music, they fell down. You know, on rare occasions that happens, and it felt like a mission statement, you know? Like with songs, like or inspiration, it can go away. It goes somewhere. And when it comes back, you can't spend the time asking where it's been. You know, you got to just, like, you got to appreciate it, and you got to take it in right away.
Dark pines, the moonlit road. Wintertime, the crunch of snow. I wonder, will your smile show that love's making its way back home? Love's making its way back home. Love's making its way back home. Love's making its cold, weary way back home. And when it's finally reappeared, we won't ask what it has seen. It won't say, travel in the in-between. Love's making its way back home. Love's making its way back home. Love's making its cold, weary way back home. To you and me. So keep on. You've heard is true. Love is patient and love can burn. And it won't ask to be excused. And it won't ask if it can please return. Some will tell you that it's a myth. Try to say it don't exist. We'll shake our heads at all of this. When it's finally standing.
One we'll play is my favorite, Darlin'.
I wrote that as like a question. When is it the right time to call someone darling? When is it right for you? What does it feel natural? And when are they going to take it without punching you in the face? The answer to that is about 3 months.
How much do you think? How many tears do I have to drink? How much do I have left? How much blood in one man's chest? Darling, will you let me call you darling? Will you let me call you darling, please? Darling, will you let me call you darling? When will you let me call you darling? It's what I need. How much do you want? Does it depend on what I got? How much longer can this go? If I'm not sure, then you don't know. Darling, will you let me call you darling? When will you let me call you darling, please? Darling, will you let me call you darling? When will you let me call you darling? It's what I need. Darling, darling, I'm just out here ringing bells. Darling, darling, am I supposed to prove myself if you won't let me prove myself?
See Me Through was that was one that I had for a while that I had a couple verses on, and it was like I was just stuck on a couple verses. I was actually just recording it at home, like I set up and I do little recordings on my own, and I had everything, but it just sat there, and it sat there until late in the end of the Darwin sessions, and it was just it's a song about kind of when I first moved to New York, I felt like I would go down on the subway and it was amazing to see how everybody could walk around down there underground and never run into anybody. Everybody's trajectory seemed planned from the beginning of time to just miss each other. And it was like, it was amazing. And I kind of, that's what got me going on it.
All around me, the shadows of women and men. And they all walk right through me. And I walk to them, and I cast my mind back. I cannot believe that I'm one of the lucky ones. You happen to see me through. Got trouble on the main line. See me through. Scales fall from my eyes. See me through. Darling, darling, darling. Where are the statues? Colossal and bronze. That stood at the gates of our great love and kept warm. Now over the hills, over the horizon, somebody's army advances, and I have faith in you, darling. Even when I question our chances, got trouble on the main line. see me through.
Right now, are you working on a new record and a new novel, or one or the other more, or what are you up to?
I just finished recording my new record.
Okay.
So that's like in the last couple of days, and I'm thrilled about it. It just feels fantastic. I worked on it with Josh Kaufman and my band,
mm-hmm.
and so I'm starting up a good amount of touring, but I'm in the middle of. It works really well. I'm in the middle of my second draft, the new novel, which is a big rowdy book. it's like lots of language and lots of fighting and all sorts of stuff are in there, you know?
Are you finding it easier or harder or just different to write your sophomore book?
I'd say like the thing that's easier about it is I'm a little bit easier on myself about the schedule I'm on. I really discovered that's you gotta give it time, and you also have to be like more forgiving of the amount you can get done in a day, you know, like with a song it can come, you know, in an instant, you know, but with a book, whether there's an inspiration there or not from any given moment to the next, you gotta be there writing, and you know, and you gotta do it regularly. So I think I'm being a little bit easier on myself in my time frame, but that leaves me more room to like really enjoy the funny and crazy stuff that kind of comes into my mind, you know, for the writing.
And do you have an idea when the new record will come out?
I'm not quite sure right now.
Okay. Josh Ritter, it's always great to talk to you. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks a lot, Sarah. Thank you very much for having me on. It's awesome.
Josh Ritter and the Royal City Band are playing at the Clearwater Festival on June 16th. Visit clearwaterfestival.org for tickets and information. His novel, Bright's Passage, is now available in paperback from Dial Press. All of the songs in this segment are from this year's Bringing in the Darlings. Josh's website is joshritter.com. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
I woke up to see so lonesome and torn, with a blackberry blackness, bit of sweetness and thorns, and I can't my mind back on the love that we made. I need to believe it. There's some kind of plan. With all this pain, it's getting harder to see.